I feel like there's a ton of ways that I could go this morning, and I felt the Lord was touching on a bunch of them. But how many of you want to do the will of God? So how many of you know what the will of God is? Well, let's talk about what is the will of God. Cutting out. Well, we won't have to worry about it. I'll trade you. Okay, so we're talking about the will of God. Chuck said it's being conformed to his image, right? Peg?
Forgive others as you have been forgiven, forgiving each other.
Believe in him whom the Father has sent. Love one another. What else? Serve, love God. Surrender your life completely to him. Make disciples. Good one. Pardon? No false gods? Yeah. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, freely give. Demonstrate the love of God to everybody. Sure. That's what God requires. Roger? I'm coming.
Proverbs 3:5. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. Acknowledge him and he will direct your ways.
Amen. In all your ways? That's a challenging thought, isn't it? Knowing the will of God. In Matthew 6:10, you can take a look at it. He was talking with them about praying and the kingdom coming, right? And so there's been a lot of emphasis over the last number of years from all of us on modeling his kingdom. It says, may thy kingdom come here on earth like it is in heaven, right? And we've done a lot of talking about it. But he says something else in there. He said, and may thy will be done here on earth, like it is in heaven. So, knowing and doing the will of God is important here as well as in heaven. So, what does the will of God look like in heaven? Think about that. Think about the eternal kingdom and the eternal will of God and how we will be sharing that. So, if we're going to pray for his will to be done, then we better know what it is. And we better be able to walk it out. And it's amazing that all of us can tend to talk about the will of God and then live in a way that we're not walking that out. And so let's pray. Lord, I pray. It says in Matthew 7:21, you said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of God. God, we want to do the will of God. We want to know your will. We want to do it. We want to participate in what you're doing. Lord, there were so many things that you said this morning, Lord, about drawing close to you. And without you leading us, it's not going to happen. And so, God, thank you for the Holy Spirit who has come Hallelujah. To take of yours and reveal it to us. To guide us into all the truth. And Lord, we're so thankful and we're so blessed. We just ask you, Lord, to continue to lead us and to guide us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Let's just look at a couple of verses and then I'll make some comments. See, what I've seen is I've seen in a lot of places where I've gone, people love the Lord, they seek the Lord, but they're paralyzed in terms of the will of God. They're paralyzed in terms of what they're actually doing. They may even proclaim it. They may even preach it. They may even prophesy it. But yet doing it, you know. As Jesus was walking, this one woman hollered at him. She said, "Blessed are the breasts that gave you suck." He turned around and he says, "On the contrary, blessed is he who hears and acts on it." Another time they said, "Your mother and brothers are here." He said, "Who is my mother and my brothers?" And he pointed to his disciples and he said, "He who hears the will of God, the word of God, and does it, he is my brother, my father, my mother, my sister." So hearing and actually doing what God is telling us to do is a key in knowing the will of God. Let's look at Thessalonians now. Some of this, I wasn't prepared to share this morning. So, this is what the Lord gave us, you know, as we began to come into this. And so, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more." And I think that's my heart. I think that's what God was kind of saying to us this morning, that we are dealing with things, we are seeing things, we are cultivating in some ways, and He challenged us to go even deeper. Anybody hear that? Two people, that's good. To excel still more. He says, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of our Lord Jesus." What were the commandments that they gave to him? What was the commandments that Jesus gave us? Amen. There we are. "Love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love one another. On these two are all the law and the prophets." That was the commandments that Jesus gave to his disciples. It was the commandments that Paul was given to the Thessalonians. And he said, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who don't know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification." There, I've run into people, there have been besetting sins, things like that, that have paralyzed people from moving forward in what God is calling them to do. Sanctification. See, we have to understand positional experiential truth. Positionally, we're holy. Experientially, we're in the process of being made holy. Positionally, we're sanctified. Experientially, we're in the process of being sanctified. Isn't that right? How many of you are different than you were when you first got saved? Yeah. Prove my point. Three of you were. This is cool. So that's what Paul was talking about in Corinthians, which he said he became all these things for us. So positionally, we are those things, but experientially, we're in the process of becoming sanctified, becoming holy, becoming righteous. So there's a process that each and every one of us are in, and we're at varying degrees of growth and development. And Paul was speaking to that. He was saying, I want you to excel still more. Are you doing good? You need to go beyond where you are. You need to excel in what you're doing. And there's another scripture where he talks about the way you prove the will of God is by presenting your body in Romans 12, right? He says, present your body, which is a living, holy sacrifice, you know, that you might prove what the will of God is. That which is good, acceptable, and perfect. You know, he wants us, that happens when we present ourselves and we're wholehearted, as we heard God speaking this morning. I believe we're as wholehearted as we can be, but I believe in some of our cases, you know, we're paralyzed when it comes to the will of God because of a certain point. Another thing that it says, very important, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You read that? So, are you giving thanks for everything? Yay! For the tribulations. Yay, when things don't work out like you think they should. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you don't get that, then the enemy knows exactly how to come in and upset your apple cart. And then all of a sudden you start questioning God, you start questioning his purpose, you start questioning his will, you start questioning everything. Say amen or oh me. I want to show you a guy whose will was paralyzed. Turn to John 5. John 5. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticles. It means the house of grace. And in these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. No, a lot of people are waiting for the moving of the water. Right? Come on. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. There was a certain man there who had been 38 years in his sickness. 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew they had already been a long time in that condition, he said, do you want to get well? Does that sound mean? See, this man's will was paralyzed. Our will impacts us physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, and can literally paralyze us if we're not careful. And this man's will was paralyzed. And Jesus saw it. And he was waiting for the stirring up of the water. And when an angel would actually come and stir up the water, there was, yeah. When he said, do you want to get well? Here's what the guy said. He said, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. But while I'm coming up, another steps down before me. Jesus didn't say, you poor guy, I'll put you in the water. Right? Or let me touch you. Here's what he said. Get up. What? Pick up that pallet and walk. Isn't that amazing? And immediately, the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. And he went out and started Pick Up Your Pallet Ministries. my gosh. The man became well. He took up his pallet and began to walk. That was on the Sabbath. Therefore, the Jews were saying to him who was cured, it's the Sabbath. It's not permissible for you to carry your pallet. Man, that religious spirit is stupid. I mean, think about that. How many people has that religious spirit paralyzed from moving in the things of God? The kingdom of God crosses all cultures. There's constant conflict between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. But there's also conflict between the kingdom of God and the religious kingdoms. And there's conflict between, you know, the kingdom of God and the generational kingdom, which we had time to get into all of those. But what I wanted to show you here was this religious spirit began to say, it's the Sabbath. You should be carrying your parable. I'd have been saying, wow, 38 years and you're walking. This is crazy. Right? Those paralyzed usually bring paralysis to others. He said, who's this guy who told you to take up your pallet and walk? He was healed. He didn't even know who it was. Oh my gosh. It was Jesus. And he'd slipped away. See, when God moves, we want to gather all these crowds and everything. Jesus sent away more crowds than we'll ever gather. He was not trying to draw attention to himself. He wasn't trying to draw attention to his ministry. He was trying to bring the kingdom. And when the kingdom came, everything changed. And he was trying to make a point that God can also change the will. Even if the will is paralyzed, God can activate it again. Do you believe that? Say amen or oh me. He slipped away and there was a crowd in that place. And Jesus found him in the temple. And here's an amazing thing. He says to him, oh, I see you're well. Don't sin anymore. So that nothing worse befall you. That warrants the question, don't it? What was the sin? We're talking about a man who had a paralyzed will. A will that can be paralyzed physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered and he said, my Father's working to now and I myself am working. For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Jesus. Because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but also calling God his Father, making him equal to God. Jesus therefore said to them, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Lest it's something he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Father loves the Son, shows him all things that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. And on and on. But I just want to draw attention to the fact that this man's will was paralyzed. Jesus confronted it, said, pick up your pallet. The man got up and he was healed. See, many of us don't step forward by faith. And because of it, we find ourselves paralyzed. Am I right? In Mark 4 is a story about Jesus telling them, we're going to go to the other side. Remember that story? He gets in the boat, okay, and they take off, and it says there was this incredible storm. In fact, the Greek word for that storm is megas. A megas storm. A terrible storm. But Jesus was asleep. You think Jesus is asleep a lot of times? You don't think he knows what's going on in your life? You don't think he knows about the circumstances and the situations you're in? And they came and they woke him up. They said, don't you care? Don't you care about me? Don't you care about this situation? We're perishing. They had God in the boat. Where's Christ dwell? He's right here. We have God in the boat. He gets up and he says, be calm, be still. The word he uses there for the calm that came was megas. A mega storm. Not a ripple in the water. Not a cloud in the side, in the sky. He looked at him and he says, where's your faith? Where are you putting your faith? And then it says, they were megas afraid. Same word. Because Jesus doesn't want to fit into your definition. Jesus doesn't want to be defined by you. He doesn't want you to tell people what they should believe. He wants you to demonstrate it. We walk by faith and not by sight. If we don't move in faith, it's... It comes out hard, doesn't it? One person quoted that one. Anything that is not of faith is sin. If you read the story of the woman with the issue of blood, remember that? She was crying out, Jesus. And they were saying, shut her up. She reached out and touched him. Virtue flowed out of him. When you say, who touched me? They say, what are you talking about? There's a crowd here. He said, I felt virtue go out of me. And then the woman identified herself. Said, you see that woman? She has megas faith. Great faith! Here's Jesus that comes to this guy. And he says, do you want to get well? See, I think his sin is my opinion. But I think his sin was self-pity. And I think we fall into it a lot. Because Jesus doesn't ask questions because he doesn't know the answers. Is that right? When he said, do you want to get well? He knew that what out of the abundance of the mouth, what that man would speak is what was really in there. And so the guy said, nobody will put me in the water. But I think he said it like this. Nobody will put me in the water. I want to stir it up. So I think Jesus said, get up. Stop that. Pick up your pallet and walk. I used the scripture many times in the 80s. I'll tell you this little story. I walked into, my son Aaron and I went into this car dealership to buy two cars. he needed one, and I needed a different one, and so I ran into this guy, and let's call him Bill, and introduced myself. He introduced me, and I said, we're looking for two cars, and, you know, I'd like one. He reaches down, grabs his keys, throws them to Aaron, and he says, I've got a Volkswagen Rabbit out there. You ought to go and check that out. In good shape, be perfect for you. So Aaron runs off. So I'm looking at this other car. Pretty soon, my son comes back, and he walks up and he says to the guy, you a Vietnam vet? I said, I'm the president of the New Hampshire Vietnam Vets Association. Impressive. Aaron says, oh, really? Well, my dad's a Vietnam vet. So I'm thinking, wow, he must have got a word of knowledge. Aaron told me later, no, he had a bumper sticker that said, that's how he did it. Shucks. But but he said, my dad's a Vietnam vet. So he looks at me and said, you were a Vietnam vet? Yeah. Combat Marine? Yeah. You were a recon Marine? Yeah. How come you're normal? So what he said to me, how come you're normal? And I said, you don't want to know, Bill. He said, yes, I do. I said, no, you don't. Now, I'm here to buy two cars. And we're looking at it. Every so often, he'd be like, no, come on, Mr. Kerry. Why are you normal? And I'd say to him, you don't want to know. So finally, we purchased the two cars. I came to pick up the two cars and pay for them and sign the paper. And he holds back the paperwork like he's not going to give them to me until I tell him. Can you imagine that? So he's like, he goes, no, how come you're normal? So, okay, it's Jesus. He goes, oh, I said, I told you. You didn't want to know. So now he's embarrassed, you know. Oh, where do you go to church? I said, it has nothing to do with where I go to church. And he goes, no, I want to. So I pull out a card. It has the church's address. I carry my wallet. And I hand it to him. And I said, we meet at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I hand it to him. He grabs my card, but I'm not letting go of it. So we're having this little pulling contest, you know. And he goes, wait. I said, no, I want to come to your church. I said, you a man of your word, Bill? Being the president of the New Hampshire Vietnam Vets Association and all. He pulls out me. I'll be there. I said, well, we'll see if you're a man of your word or not. And I left. I forget all about it. A couple of weeks later, we're in a meeting. The Holy Spirit's moving. We're prophesying. People are getting prayed for. Things are going on. And in comes this brother with his 16-year-old daughter. And they kind of sit in the back. And he watches. And God just keeps moving. And the Holy Spirit. And then a song comes. And we keep moving. Finally, he comes down the aisle crying. And he says to me, Mr. K-, he says, oh, and he said, what the hell's going on? So what did he say? I said, it's Jesus, Bill. It's Jesus. He said, what do I do? And I led him to the Lord. No sooner are we praying for a lead him to the Lord, here comes a 16-year-old daughter. She comes, I said, Mr. Kerry, this is weird. I said, no, honey, this is normal. Your whole life's been weird. It's the kingdom. And so all throughout the 80s, I would pray and I would say, God, you healed me. Will you heal these other people? So I started to have Vietnam vet meetings in my home. And this one day, I was driving up 89, take a shortcut from 93 to 89 to Clinton Avenue where we lived off of. And as I'm driving up, there's this guy walking up the side of the Interstate 89. He's got this huge backpack on, and he's in camouflage utilities, you know, unshaven and rough looking. And I see him, and I pull over, roll down my window. So you need a ride? He said, I'm going up north. I said, well, throw your stuff in. I'll take you up there. So he throws his stuff in the car. He gets in. We're driving up. I said, so where are you going up north? He goes, I don't know. You don't know? No. You going up to camp out and stuff? Yeah. You a Vietnam vet? He looked at me and he said, Yeah, I am. I said, you don't fit in anymore, do you? He said, no, I don't. I said, you want to get well? He said, he starts getting choked up. He said, what do you mean? I pulled over. I said, I'm a Vietnam vet too. He said, how did you get well? I read him what we just read. I said, you know what the problem is? He said, no. I said, you're drawing your identity from your Vietnam experience. Just like that man was drawing his identity from his affliction. That's how he identified himself. That's how this Vietnam vet was identifying himself. I said, I no longer draw my identity from Jesus. I mean, from my Vietnam experience. I draw my identity from Jesus Christ. I'm not that. The old has passed away. All things are new. All things are new. I live in a different kingdom, in a different time, a different way. You can have that too if you'll repent of drawing your identity from the wrong thing. And I'll pray for you and God will heal you. He said, I want that. I led him to the Lord there. I said, where do you live? He said, I live in Springfield, Mass. I said, I'm taking you home. I turned the car around. Drove halfway there, had to stop. I called Mike Dillard. And Mike had a church at that time there. And I told Mike the story. I told him where the guy lived. I said, you need to get over there, prepare his wife and kids because he's coming home and he's a different guy. And he went over there and he told him. I took him in. Took him all the way home. We got there as kids and his wife came out kind of reluctantly looking. Get out of the car, went like this. They gathered. It was just a real amazing moment. God healed him. Do you want to get well? There was another story with a guy named Roy Woodard. He gave me permission to use his name so I can use his. But Roy Woodard was living in Laconia, New Hampshire. He came all the way down for my Vietnam vets meeting at my house. And when they would come, I would look at their DD-214. I'd find out what their experiences were, what their MOS was. So I get a pretty good idea of this guy's exposure to combat. And this guy was highly commentated. You know, I knew he was hurting. He had found out he had, from Agent Orange, he had, what's that blood disease? Leukemia. Yeah, he had leukemia. And he was dying. And I said to him, Roy, why don't you stick around till after the meeting? I want to talk to you. He said, all right, when the meeting was over and we were in my living room, I said, Roy, do you want to get well? He said, what do you mean? I read him that story. And I said, the problem with that guy is he was drawing his identity from his affliction. You're drawing your identity from your Vietnam experience. Do you want to get well? He said, I do. I said, I'm going to pray for you, but here's what I want you to do. Think about this. I want you to bring all your Vietnam paraphernalia down tomorrow to my house. Every picture, uniform, everything you have, and we're going to burn it in a 55-gallon drum. He said, I don't know if I can do that. I said, then I don't know if you can be healed. Do you want to get well? He said, I do. He came down that next night. We put all that stuff in a big 55-gallon drum to burn. There were some things I couldn't burn. He had a weapon. He had a grenade. He had ammo. There was stuff I could not. I'll get rid of this later. We'd have had a 4th of July event. And so we burned it. He cried. I cried. We cried like babies. I prayed for him. I said, I want you to go back to the VA and have them check you out. God totally healed him. Totally healed him. He lived for another 25 years. I can probably tell you 7 stories like that that were just absolutely amazing and powerful. But I could tell you hundreds of stories where people could not stop drawing their identity. They could not exert their will. believe God. What did Roger say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. But this guy did, and God healed him. So think about it for a minute. Where are you at? You somewhere in the sanctification process, but you've reached a dead end. You've run into a wall. You're not moving forward. You're not doing what this woman prophesied about going out and proclaiming the kingdom to our neighbors, to those on our job, to those that are living around us. This is the kingdom. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'll be with you to the end of the age. Are we doing that? Hallelujah. So let's take a minute. Just close your eyes for a second. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get beyond where you've been? God wants to touch you. If that's you, you're paralyzed in your spirit for some reason, just put your hand up for a minute. I want to pray for you. Sure. Sure. Okay. Now here's the first step. Get up. Stand up right where you are. Doesn't matter who's around, who's seeing, who isn't seeing. Father, we respond to you this morning. Lord, we've been paralyzed in one area or another. Maybe we haven't blamed anybody. Maybe we're just doing nothing. God, today, you can bring healing. Today, you can change everything in our lives. So what? It's the Sabbath. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, just between you and the Lord, only you know what that area or areas are in your life. I want you to right now, just between you and the Lord, give that to the Lord. Repent of it. Only you know what it is. You don't need to be called out. God's a gentleman. But he said, get up. Hallelujah. Pick up our situation and go forward. And don't sin anymore. Hallelujah. Just receive that. Just repent right now. God, I have not been functioning in faith. I've been functioning in fear, doubt, or unbelief. And I repent of that today, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray for your healing to come right now, God. God, I pray for healing to come in each and every life of each and every person that is responding in their will. Lord, break the paralysis in our lives. Break the paralysis, Lord, that causes us to sit around and feel sorry for ourselves, Lord. Break it in the name of Jesus. And I pray for great faith to come upon each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Great faith to go beyond where we've been before. Great faith, oh God. Hallelujah. Not to define you, but to walk in the faith that you've given us, oh God, to walk in. And we'll see signs and wonders following us. We don't follow the signs, but these signs follow us. Thank you, Father, because we're going and we're doing the things you've called us to do. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, just give those things to the Lord right now. Repent. Be forgiven. Somebody said that. Be forgiven. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now everybody look at me. Don't sin anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. He's worthy of our praise. And he's able to do above and beyond anything we could ask or hope. Amen. You may be seated.